the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. We still exist. It has been like 2 months? How long has it been? It's been a long time. And I would like to say, oh, we were busy on our book tour or like, but no. I think life just kind of happened and we honestly didn't. There was a few times when...
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of questions either, so we kind of...
That's true. What do you want to talk about this week? I don't know. I guess we've talked about everything. There's nothing else to talk about. But so if you are one of our loyal listeners, thanks for sticking with us, even though we only record once every 6 weeks or whatever. But Don, what's been going on in your life? I'll share first. We got a new baby EB on the way.
Woo!
Yeah, so that's new and exciting. So
crazy.
I'll be a father of three. I guess I am already, but officially it'll feel more real in June. So that's kind of new in our courts. Anything new and exciting for you or what? Did you have a birthday recently? No, that was me too.
That was you. Oh, that was me.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Anyways, happy birthday. Really, you well. Like that? That was good. For all those people that want to send me gifts.
No babies in our court. So.
Yeah, right. So that would be a miracle.
What was new with me is I did a emergency trip to home to Manitoba to see my dad, which he would look like he wasn't going to make it, but he did pull through. So kind of was the latest adventure to deal with. So taking my wife on a weekend getaway this weekend to Jasper. So that's going to be exciting.
That's sweet. Awesome. Well, we're not here to just talk about ourselves, Don.
Hey, I didn't bring up the birthday by accident.
I think, who is it? My wife has a friend that on his birthday, he always calls like his sibling, says, happy birthday. And they're like, it's not my birthday. He's like, oh, well, whose birthday is it today? They're like, okay, we get it. Happy birthday. Wow. Yeah. But anyways, we did get a question for this week. And so I'm going to read it and then we'll just spend some time talking about it. I won't say any names. We'll just keep it anonymous. But it says, hello, I listen to your podcast often and I find it very informative. Well, thank you very much. I've been part of a Bible study group, and this week the focus was on the topic of trust, specifically Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8, where it states, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Obviously, I think it's a King James person here, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I've heard of trusting in the Lord many times before, but I think this is the first time where I'm actually realizing that not only are we to trust in the Lord, but also not trust in man. And then in parentheses, like anyone. Then it made me wonder if this included friends, families, even spouses. So I looked for verses that would encourage trust in those that we love, but only found more verses telling us not to trust in our friends, Micah 7, our spouse, Proverbs 31, or ourselves, Proverbs 3. I guess I'm just confused about how to have a healthy relationship with others, and then in parentheses, specifically spouses, without trusting them, and would appreciate it if you could shed some light and clarity on this topic. Thanks for your work. It's much appreciated. So I guess to kind of, and we'll look at each of those passages that this person referenced. But I guess the question is about trust. Like if the Bible is saying don't trust people, then how do we have a healthy relationship? And, you know, this person uses the example of a spouse. So if I'm like, so if I take the example of my wife, I don't trust you, but how do I have a healthy relationship? So
get complicated.
Yeah, that would get complicated. Love you, don't trust you.
Oh, it's interesting because in our youth group we were talking about this just the other day, and a couple of them said that you can only trust in yourself. I mean, you kind of go with people as much as you can, but ultimately you got to just trust yourself. And they weren't people of faith either, so that was the only thing they could. But it was interesting, they said that you really can't trust anybody because ultimately they're going to hurt you somewhere down the line. Hopefully they won't, but you gotta kind of hedge your bets in your favor.
Yeah, right.
It's so interesting.
Kind of keep your defenses up.
Yeah, it's fascinating is this question. I have a passage in John chapter 2. Jesus is just starting his ministry. He clears the temple. He's done his first miracle. And he's supposedly the Messiah to come. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to maybe think he's the one. So this is what it says at the end of John chapter 2. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. No one needed to tell him what mankind is really like. Mm-hmm. And that really has often made me quite sad because I know it's true.
Yeah.
That Jesus, on my own, he can't even trust me, and I proved that. I don't often do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it just always just catches my attention when, you know, just along these lines that this person asked this question, even Jesus knew that left to themselves, these people would have false ideas about how this should work. Mm. And Jesus said, I can't trust you. I have to stick with the plan my Father made if I follow you guys. So interesting that even Jesus,
yeah, didn't says, trust the crowds.
I actually can't trust you guys to do the plan I need to do.
All right, you heard it straight from Don. Don't trust anybody. Just kidding. But why don't we look at each passage, because you know, specifically this person was in a Bible study. They're looking at Jeremiah 17, and we'll read that. But I think it's good to, this is a great lesson, I think, in the idea of context, to know what is the book of Jeremiah about, who is it written to, what is that chapter about? Because it can be easy not that we're like getting it totally wrong, but it's good to know, okay, well, what is Jeremiah talking about? Because if I just kind of pluck out, you know, don't trust anybody, I'm like, oh, well, then what do you do with that? So context is king, is what I remember one of my college professors would say. And so we'll look at each one of these and then maybe, yeah, talk about what it actually means, like as far as trusting one another and trusting spouses and family members and stuff like that. So Jeremiah is a book written while the Israelites are in exile in Babylon. And Jeremiah, a lot of it is, not all of it, but a lot of it is talking about punishment because the Israelites rebelled against God. They're in captivity now. A lot of it is, you know, hopeful that, you know, this is what's going to happen. But a lot of it is like, hey, this is, you know, the crap hit the fan kind of thing. Yeah. Like, this is what's happening to you. Jeremiah 16, near the end of it, God's talking about restoring Israel, you know, and he says, you know, the days are coming when I'm going to just, you know, as the Lord lives, this is the end of 16, who brought people out of Egypt. He says, you know, he's promising these things. And then Jeremiah 17 is getting into some of the sin that Judah had committed. And we're not going to read all of it, but basically, you know, your wealth and your treasures, you high places for sin throughout all your territory, like all this idolatry that was going on in Judah, this is all the sin. And then the verse that this person quoted is Jeremiah 17 verses 5-8. So you got to keep in mind, not saying that it doesn't apply to us, but these are captives in Babylon hearing about their sin and kind of going, what happened? So Jeremiah 17 then, verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. And then verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, doesn't fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So I don't know. How do you make sense of that, Don?
Well, no, I agree with the whole context thing because what was even happening before in like chapter 8, where Jeremiah's talking about the false prophets.
Hmm.
And the false prophets were telling the people that everything was going to be okay. We can still keep going the way we are. We have the temple. We have Jerusalem, the law. And there was even talk about maybe we'll go to Egypt for help. Like they didn't want to listen to Jeremiah talk about this. If you don't repent of your sins, you're going to be destroyed. And he said, no, that's not going to happen. So they were looking to Egypt. They were looking to other countries and even their own false prophets. So Jeremiah's kind of reacting to that whole conversation that cursed is the man who trusts in man. Like, don't listen to these people. They're leading you away from God.
Yep.
And you're going to fall if you do that. So cursed is the man who trusts in man. He's warning them, don't listen to these false prophets and these ideas. Like, God is speaking, and if we don't turn to him, we're going to, this is all going to happen to us.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and he kind of compares the two, right? Cursed is this, and then in verse 7, and blessed is this. Like, cursed is the person who's, you're putting your trust in these other people, you're making flesh his strength, your heart is turned away from God. So I don't think the issue is, hey, I trusted that person and now I'm cursed, but what are you, your heart's turning away from God, you're making flesh your strength, you're listening to people who are actually leading you away from God. And that's why he then, Jeremiah, you know, writes, or I guess thus says the Lord. So God through Jeremiah is saying, and blesses the person that trusts in the Lord. So it's kind of painting this either or picture that you're either walking away from God and trusting in all of these other people who are leading you astray, or you're following God. And that picture is beautiful. You're like a tree planted by streams of, or planted by water. It's life. Even then in verse 9, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. So that idea of you can't even really trust your own heart because it'll lead you astray. It's sick. It'll turn your back on God and what is true and right. So I think
you, and just to carry on, like in verse 10, he says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, or desperately wicked. And then in verse 10 it says, but I the Lord search all hearts, examine the secret motives. I think that's part of the solution to some of this, is that God knows the heart. He actually searches them, and he's able to deal with that. So,
Yeah. So I think, again, because this person in the email said, you know, reading Jeremiah 17, I've heard of trusting the Lord, but I think this is the first time where I'm actually realizing that not only are we to trust in the Lord, but also not to trust in man, like anyone. I'm not convinced that that's what this is actually saying. I think, and maybe we'll get into, you know, practical application, but I think we're not meant to trust in people who are leading us astray from the counsel of God, from the word of God, who are saying, it's fine, don't worry about that, we've got this. And that's what was happening in Jeremiah's day. Like, so I'm not convinced that that passage is saying never trust anybody. I think it's just saying, hey, when you have people who are leading you astray, who's turning your heart away from God, and then you have someone who's actually trusting in Jesus, whose trust is in him, who isn't, you know, the picture of a tree who's planted firm, who's not being swayed. I think that's more what Jeremiah is getting at. So, I mean, we can even flip then, because Micah is the next passage that talks about that. Sometimes I have to do that old, like, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, Jonah. See, even I have to do that. Where's Micah? But I mean, this person said, you know, even in Micah, it says not to trust in our friends. And, you know, they referenced Micah 7 with 5 and 6, which says, put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the sons, would be your wife. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your, watch what you say around your wife. For the son treats the daughter with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then verse 7, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So I don't know, Don, what's the context here?
Don't trust anyone. Pretty simple.
When you're lying in bed with your wife, watch what you say.
Yeah, but it's the same as Jeremiah. I mean, Micah is preaching against the Israelites and the people of Judah that they're falling away from God.
Yeah.
And like he said, and if you read the first six verses in chapter 7, he says how miserable I am. I feel like the fruit picker after the harvest who can find nothing to eat.
Yeah.
Not a cluster of grapes. There's godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. They're all murderers. So the nation has become so corrupt and away from God that this is what he says. Don't, and he's talking, I think, to those who want to trust in God and still don't trust anyone anymore.
Yeah.
It's the whole nation has become so corrupt that even the people in your own household could be against you or betray you or turn against you. So even guard what you're going to say to them.
Yeah.
It's become that severe.
Yeah, because I think chapter 7 is talking about the consequences of their disobedience, which is like just what you're saying, like complete social upheaval. Like when you think about fathers and daughters and your wife, those are the people that you should be able to trust. But one of the consequences of their sin is that there is complete social anarchy, really. I mean, and even in chapter 6, Micah writes down, you know, I'm going to strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins. You'll eat but won't be satisfied. There will be hunger within you. You'll put away but won't preserve. You're going to sow but not reap, and all these like consequences of all these sins. And then, I mean, listen to that. That's awful. The daughter-in-law is against her mother-in-law. Well, I guess I get that sometimes. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. So I think what God is saying is look at the consequences of the way that you're living. You can't even trust your wife that you're lying down next to. Like, so again, I'm not convinced that Micah, you know, God in this passage is saying, yeah, don't trust anybody. I think he's saying, look at what's happening when you're rebelling against me. You can't trust anybody. And in those situations, God's saying, yeah, watch what comes out of your mouth, because of your sin and rebellion, you can't even trust your own daughter-in-law, your own wife. So I don't think, excuse me, I don't think this would be saying, hey, when you're lying down with your wife, watch what you say because you can't trust her. I don't think that's what it's saying. The other passage then, if you want to flip to Proverbs 31, and this one kind of was intriguing. I think it might be a misinterpretation here, because this person said, look, you can't, the example was you can't trust your spouse based on Proverbs 31:11. Which, if you know the Proverbs 31, it's describing the woman who fears the Lord. And verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. I think this person is thinking that's a negative thing. But actually, what verse 11 is saying is that this husband is actually trusting in his wife, and he has incredible gain from that. He's saying, you won't lack any gain when you trust in your husband, or when this husband is trusting in this kind of godly woman. So I think maybe that was just a misreading of that. And then the last verse is Proverbs 3:5, where a lot of us, we know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So that idea of don't trust yourself, basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Don, as far as application, like, what are you thinking? So if it's not saying, you know, because this person said, I guess I'm confused about how to have a healthy relationship with others without trusting them. But is that what these verses are necessarily saying? Don't trust.
Well, I think we're being called to use discernment that, I think as humans, there is an element of not being able to trust anyone when it comes, especially to making things right with God and dealing with the truth about God, to use discernment when we're hearing different people speak the way they do sometimes, and to use discernment, not necessarily I'm not trusting anybody, But when you do hear something, how does that compare to Scripture?
Yeah.
What God says and what's the reputation of these people? Like for Jeremiah, he's, you know, kind of referencing the false prophets. They're leading you astray.
Yeah.
Pay attention. Don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Because you'll be destroyed because of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it's a good reminder that, well, first of all, if you're talking about ultimate total trust, that can only be placed in Jesus. When even Proverbs 3, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Like, I can't trust in myself for my salvation, for defeating sin, for putting sin to death, for my sanctification. I can't trust my own self because I know that I'm so easily swayed and deceived. Yeah. And I think that's what Proverbs is getting at, is that you actually have to trust Jesus for those things. He's the only one that you can ultimately, absolutely, 100% mm-hmm. trust. And a trust that you don't even have to worry that, oh, maybe Jesus will let me down at some point. There's not even a hint of that just because of who he is. But I don't think the Bible is saying only trust Jesus and don't trust anybody else. But I think it's a good reminder that we all are sinful and broken people. And so we hurt each other. And so, yes, you trust people knowing full well that, I mean, so I'll use my wife as an example. I trust my wife, but she's not Jesus. And so my wife is going to hurt me. And there might be cases where she breaks trust with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that, okay, well, then for the rest of my marriage, I put my guard up because I can't trust my wife. No, but it's going into it realizing because I'm sinful and because my wife is sinful, we're going to hurt each other and we're going to have to continually work on building trust. So I think the Bible's not telling you, like, hey, put up walls to keep everybody out except God. I think the Bible is just reminding you ultimately who is the one person that you can fully trust and not have any, mm-hmm. I don't know, worry that, oh, can I actually trust that person? It's Jesus. He's the only one that you can fully, without hesitation, trust. So,
yeah, I've got a few examples of where like Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. So he's talking about a trustworthy person. There's people like that out there you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of examples, like Exodus chapter 18 verse 21. Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, and his father-in-law comes and notices that he's, you know, doing all this work. And he says, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And so he says to him, find trustworthy people, trustworthy men that you can put in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, actually, look for people that you know you can trust. They have a track record. So I think that kind of encourages us. See, there are trustworthy people, mm-hmm. and Moses is supposed to find them and put them in leadership positions. And back in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, when Paul is instructing Timothy there, he's calling for him to look for men that you can entrust the message to, mm-hmm. men who can be trusted
yeah.
to preach the gospel. And mm-hmm. so he's saying there are people like that out there that you can trust.
Yeah.
And you can see they have a track record of being honest, of being trustworthy with the gospel in this case.
Yeah.
And you can rely on people like that.
Hmm.
Will they never fail? I don't know if he's saying that, but he's saying, like, find these trustworthy people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same in our marriage as we learn to love each other. Ephesians 4 calls us to put away falsehood.
Yeah.
Put away stealing and lying and become these trustworthy people.
Yeah.
And I think, for example, in my marriage as well, we've been married 30 years plus. We've learned to trust each other, even like you said, knowing that I might still disappoint her, mm-hmm. chances will, or I will.
Yeah.
But we trust each other that overall, I don't have to worry about what Janet's doing right now. And I can confide in her knowing that I'm safe with yeah. what I tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So we've grown in that trust. So this person that's talking about spouses and family, you can learn to trust each other. You can confide, and you're not breaking any command or scripture by doing that, because those were certain situations there. And then there's other scripture that says, you know, put trustworthy people in place.
Yeah.
And this is how, as believers, you're to become a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
All the while realizing that we as humans are flawed.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to deal with that. And even after that, I mean, trust will have to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
But we still don't want to throw it complete. Okay, that's it. I've been burnt twice. I'm never trusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad way to go, too.
I think so. Yeah. And I think, as followers of Jesus, we want to be men and women of integrity and people who could be trustworthy. I mean, that's us trying to imitate and model Jesus to one another. So, I think, but even too, I think one aspect of being a person of integrity and trustworthy, it's not that they never disappoint you, but it's that even then they're quick to repent and right? So I think the problem is for a lot of people when we put, and this happens a lot in like church world, you know, you have these super pastors or super leaders, and then we trust them and then they fail. And then we go, oh man, I can't trust anybody. But I think maybe that's the kind of trust that the Bible's talking about, that we trust this person as you are perfect and amazing and incredible and you would never do anything wrong. And then they do something wrong and we go, wait, what? So it's not that. I think it is being trustworthy and allowing ourselves to trust people all the while knowing that none of us are perfect and we're going to sin and mess up, but be quick to repent. And like, that's, you know, the example of the marriage is huge, because my wife hurts me still time to time. I mean, if she's listening, that never happens. And I do too, but it's that quick to repent, and that doesn't make me not trust her. It's just, it's a continual working at it.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important that the ultimate trust is in Jesus Christ. And that's why Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because ultimately that's where your trust won't be broken and it'll stay secure, even though, you know, it'll storm a little bit with people.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to destroy you, because your ultimate trust is in God.
Yeah.
So.
And I think too, like to end, I think we've hopefully answered that question, but it's a good example of just being really careful when you read the Bible. Careful in the sense of, it can be really easy to just kind of pluck a verse or two out and then kind of go, if that's saying what I think it says, like, oh boy. So to know the context of, you use the example of Jeremiah, to know what Jeremiah is talking about and who he's writing to and what was going on in Israel at the time, and to know what was going on when Micah was written and what God is trying to tell the people of Israel then, and then how does it apply to us. So I think it's just a good reminder to not just kind of pluck a verse out and go, well, that tells I'm not supposed to trust anybody, so I'm not going to trust anybody, but to go, okay, what is God really saying here, and what was happening at the time, and then though, so how does that apply to me too? So it's kind of both, I think. Any final thoughts there, Don? Hopefully that's been helpful. So if that was your question, hopefully that helped answer it. If not, blame Don. Just kidding. You can trust me, Don. But we love answering questions like that. Just practical. What are you dealing with in your everyday life? And so hopefully that's been helpful. And if you do have questions, if you're listening and stuff's coming up, please email us, Andrew at npnbchurch or Don at npnbchurch.com, and ask us or text us a question or whatever. That's why we want to do these podcasts. So hopefully we will talk to you next week and not next month. Okay, God bless.